Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Well, I just dropped into the mail a Form 1120, which is a corporation tax return, because I sit on the board of directors for a homeowners association, the homeowners association responsible for the neighborhood that I happen to live in. What I did was I took proactive action because I wanted to make sure that the neighborhood that I live in is doing the things that it should do to protect the quote-unquote investment that I've made in my personal residence. Now, I'll be the first one to argue that your personal residence really isn't an investment. It's really more of a liability. But many people that live in this neighborhood, man, I'll tell you what, that's what they've got going for them. That's how they're investing. They're thinking that by living in a home and hoping that the value of that home goes up, that delta, whatever they can take out of that home, becomes a gain. And in many places, it works. In many places, it doesn't work. You know, I'm here in Texas, and, you know, property values are appreciating. They are going up. Not as crazy as maybe the left coast or the right coast, you know, where, you know, like New York or San Francisco or places like that, where there's a tendency for real estate to appreciate even more because there's all this demand for, you know, real estate that they're not making anymore. You can't go into a place like New York or San Francisco and find raw land and just basically decide you're going to build on it. It doesn't exist. It's all been built out a long time ago. So when you live in areas like that, not only is your cost of living high, but there's an expectation on your part that because the real estate tends to appreciate, that initiative to buy that property, to live in that property, to enjoy the benefits of that property, and hopefully to sell that property somewhere down the road and make some money is an investment strategy. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't agree with that. At one point in my life, I was following that strategy. See, I lived in California for a long portion of my military career. And I was transferred from duty station to duty station within California. And what we did was we started with, well, a starter house. You know, my wife and I, we first got married, we were renting. I got transferred into Southern California. We said, you know what, let's buy a property. Let's have a property we can call our home. So we decided, instead of renting, that we would go ahead and buy. And we did buy. And we bought basically a starter home. We put a pool in the backyard because that's what we wanted. And about 2 years later, I was transferred to another duty station in Central California. And the valuation of that property went up. It did go up. And I think we made something like, I don't know, maybe $20,000 in gains on that property. And we used that money to help us buy our next property. We also used that money to pay off some debt that we had accumulated because, you know, living in Southern California was expensive. And there were times when we had more month at the end of our money. And you have to understand that we were a single income household. My wife and I decided a long time ago that we would not have my wife work. And it was specific to the fact that we wanted to make sure that when we raised our kids were being imprinted with our values and not the values of somebody else. So we decided to forego a second income. And making that gain on the sale of the house, well, it was significant. It was. And we did that four times. In other words, we transferred to different places within California and we bought property. And that was all well and good until we got to a point in, 2008, where all of a sudden the real estate market collapsed because there was all this speculation in real estate. There was all this hype. You know, everybody was buying real estate because real estate was just going up in value. It was just going up in value. And, you know, it created this bubble effect. And eventually this bubble, it burst, and we got caught up in the middle of it. We wound up taking a home that we had purchased for $700,000. We had put 20% down, so we put $140,000 of our own money into that property. We had taken out additional financing to put another $200,000 into repairs in the property because we bought a fixer-upper. I mean, that's just the way it was. And the appraised value of that property after repairs was supposed to be $1.1 million. So we thought, hey, this is great. You know, when we go to sell this property, not only are we going to get that $200,000 in the difference between what it cost us to get the property to the standard, basically up to a $900,000 investment, we would get a $1.1 million sales price, we'd get our $200,000, and we would get our $140,000 that we initially put into the property back. You know, we were thinking this is going to be a nice big windfall, you know, over $300,000. Well, then the market collapsed and it continued to fall. Nobody was buying real estate. People were bailing out of real estate. People were doing what's called jingle keys. They were taking their keys, putting them in an envelope and sending them to the bank and moving out of the property. And it was going on everywhere. It wasn't just in California. It was across the nation. And we wound up short selling that property because along the way I got transferred again. So we wound up short selling that property after 18 months of trying to go through some government programs to assist us that never worked. And we wound up selling that property for $365,000. We took a short sale hit on our credit report. We were forced to become renters because we didn't have the ability to purchase anymore. And a investing strategy went absolutely haywire on us. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some more information about that event.
Del Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, you know, I forgot to tell you, it's me, Al Gordon, on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show in the last segment. My mind was just wrapped up in the fact that, you know, I was signing some tax returns that needed to be signed, and that got my mind transitioning into, to be honest with you, a very significant mistake that I made when I thought that real estate investing equaled investing in my own principal residence. Yeah, we were caught up in the appreciation cycle of California. We had bought and sold real estate as our principal residences. We had seen the pricing go up. We were kind of hooked on it, you know. But unfortunately, that particular market cycle became out of control because of things that the government did to relax regulations on lending. I mean, basically what was going on back then was anybody who wanted a real estate loan could just do, you know, a real estate loan. They could just go in and use stated income. They could basically say, I make X amount of dollars. The lenders would not follow up on any of that information. There was no credibility. There was no substance to the fact that they were making these real estate loans. And yeah, I didn't know that was going on. Every time I had applied for a loan, I always had applied and I gave them supporting documentation and things like that because, you know, those are the types of loans that I applied for. more so, I had no control over the external environment. I had no control over the fact that people were doing things based on a signature and acquiring real estate based on a signature, based on the fact that they were counting on appreciation. I remember selling one of my homes in California to an investor who, when I had a conversation with him after the transaction concluded and everything closed, and this is a property that, to be honest with you, it went up about $100,000 in the 2 years that we lived in that property. The value went up. And I said, what are you going to do with the house? He says, well, I'm going to put some tenants in it for the short term. And I thought, oh, okay. So you're turning it into a rental property. I get that. How much are you charging for rent? And he gave me the number. And I don't recall what the number was, but I do recall this, that that number was significantly less than the mortgage payment that I had been making on the property. So, you know, knowing now what I know now and reflecting back on then, this gentleman was essentially putting a tenant in the property, charging whatever market rent he could get, and was taking negative cash flow. He was taking a negative carry every month, meaning that whatever it cost him to pay for the mortgage on that particular property, that tenant was not providing enough money to cover that expense. So essentially, he's losing money every month. But that didn't seem to bother him because he was caught up in the appreciation frenzy. I remember the day we moved out, I had two quote-unquote real estate investors come by the house and strike up a conversation with me as we were trying to move. And, you know, they said, what did you sell the house for? And I said, well, I think we sold it for $475. I think we bought it for $365, and I think we sold that one for $475. And, you know, they said, wow, you got a great price. And I said, well, I'm glad we did. I'm glad we did. And they were like, wow, you know what? That you should have held the house because it's going to go up in value. And it didn't dawn on me that this kind of investing philosophy was going on out there. It never registered. And, you know, to be honest with you, I, at that time, owned three duplexes. I still own those duplexes now. And I was following the same flawed investing strategy that all of these so-called investors were following. I basically was losing money every month on those properties because I thought that you invested for appreciation only. Yeah. And every month, I think it wound up costing us somewhere like anywhere in the neighborhood of $700 to $1,000 a month to keep paying the mortgages on those properties. And the fact that the rental income wasn't substantial enough to cover those expenses. Not to mention that I had loans on the property that were, I think we were in the 7.5% or 8% interest rate because that's what the interest rate was at that particular time. See, we had thought that real estate investing focused strictly on appreciation because where we lived, that was the concept. That was our reality. And I'll tell you what, we got crushed in 2008. I was financially devastated. I had a significant financial event on my hands. And not only was it a challenge, remember I mentioned I got transferred to another duty station that was 5 hours away. And I couldn't take my family because I couldn't afford to keep paying the mortgage on my house where my family was at. And also acquire a property where I was going. I was in a very desperate time. I mean, I literally lived in my RV for over 18 months until the day we could facilitate a short sale on the property. And I'll tell you what, that was no easy process because, you know, I had bankers like going through all of my financials saying, well, you've got a chunk of money in savings over here. We want it. And I said, you can't have it. Well, we want it or we won't approve the short sale. Well, the bottom line is this, you can't have it. And if you try and take it, I'm just going to stop paying the mortgage. which was risky for me because I also at the time had a top secret security clearance, and things like, you know, defaults on mortgages or credit problems create situations where your security clearance can be revoked. And for the type of work that I was doing, I needed to have that security clearance. And I couldn't put it in jeopardy. I mean, I was in a real rock and a hard place. Well, time went by. I continued through my military career. I was able to eventually get my family to come live with me. And we became renters. We became residents in somebody else's property. And that didn't sit very well with me. Now, I'll be honest with you. We were great tenants. We really were. I mean, we took care of the property. We paid on time. We did all the things that you're supposed to do. But that whole process, that whole investment strategy that I had followed for at least 10 years destroyed me financially. It did. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some lessons learned, and we're going to focus on how not to do that for you.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So, I promised you I was going to give you some lessons learned for, you know, the fact that I failed as a so-called real estate investor. I had done things based on a strategy that everybody around me was doing. And the kicker was this. It failed. Many of us. Many of us were damaged in the meltdown of 2008 when the real estate bubble absolutely burst. And when you do the analysis as to what caused that, it really boils down to the fact that the government had manipulated some things with their lending policies, because at that time they felt that the American dream should be home ownership, and they were trying to take down barriers to entry for everybody. The concept was everybody should be entitled to own a home. So, you know, when you have to sit down and actually qualify for a loan to acquire the property, because you need that debt, because you're not paying all cash. Very, very few people can pay all cash. They were basically turning a blind eye. So people like myself who could qualify for the loan, because I had the income, I had all the things you're supposed to have, I could prove those things, and I could obtain a loan. But other people who couldn't do those things, they were given loans. And the whole process, I mean, literally, the wheels came off the cart in 2008 when finally, you know, enough was enough. The markets couldn't handle the fact that, well, if the properties weren't appreciating anymore and they were declining, that people were just willy-nilly saying, you know what, I'm just going to walk away from the investment. I'm going to walk away from the house. And it was devastating. It really was devastating. So the lessons learned are these. There are three golden rules that I have learned since I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Three golden rules. And I had violated all of the rules. I absolutely had violated all the rules, but I didn't know what the rules were. So you're thinking to yourself, all right, what are the rules, Al? Okay. The first one is this. When you invest, your primary goal, your primary rule is this. Don't lose money. That's right. Don't lose money. Do not make investments into assets that will lose you money. It's pretty easy to do that. So you've got to guard yourself against losing money. You can't lose money. You have to make sure you're safeguarding your capital. Because when that capital is taken away from you, when it's eroded from you, it takes away your ability to make future investments. So you need to make sure that you're making sound investments. You need to make sure that you're not losing money. And most importantly, you're not losing that principal that you contribute to the investment. The second rule is just a fundamental rule that absolutely makes perfect sense when you hear it, but many of you don't hear it. And here it is. The investment must cash flow. In other words, that investment needs to produce a stream of passive income for you. If the property does not have, or I should say, not just the property, if the investment itself does not provide for a stream of cash flow, of passive income coming in, then you probably ought to walk away from it. See, that's a fundamental problem that I had with investing in my personal residence, thinking that, you know, my personal residence was an investment. My home wasn't providing me cash flow. It just doesn't do it. It provided me shelter. It provided me a place to live that I enjoyed. I got quiet enjoyment for living there, but it never produced a financial income for me. And of course, all of the systems in that home were my responsibility to maintain. So when the air conditioner went out, I got the opportunity to pay for those repairs. If the septic needed pumping, I had the opportunity to take care of that. I wasn't really investing because I wasn't achieving cash flow. And it is absolutely important that you make sure that the investments that you're making produce a stream of passive income, because it's that passive income that you're going to use to help offset your normal expenses so that you can indeed get yourself to a point where you achieve retirement. And retirement is not an age. Retirement is a number. It's a financial number. And you've got to realize that. I know your financial planners, they're just telling you to keep saving your money, keep putting your money into your mutual funds, keep doing all of that stuff. But it's not providing you income. And the flaw is this: when you get to that point somewhere in the future, if you don't have enough money saved up based on the amount of time you're going to live, you're going to have a fundamental problem. And you're going to have a fundamental problem at a time in your life where you may not be able to go back to work to remedy that. Or, you know, your body is in a particular state where working is just not plausible for you anymore. So you have to make sure that whatever investments you're making produce cash flow. And the third fundamental rule is this: you can't get rich slow. In other words, you can't put your money into investments that are going to grow very small amounts over time. You know, your financial planner probably sat you down and said, look, you know, stocks can be risky and mutual funds can be risky. We're going to do these things to diversify your portfolio, to try and take the sting out of that. Maybe if you're younger, you can absorb more risk. Maybe if you're older, you want to avoid risk. Maybe we'll put you into a mutual fund that, you know, over time changes the types of investments that are made so that that risk is reduced, therefore returning you less return on your money. It's a strategy that doesn't work, in my opinion, because what's happening is you are so adverse to risk because you have no control over the investments you're making. You probably don't even know what your money is invested in. And yeah, you get those prospectus, those things that come from your mutual fund manager. They you know, it's like a 30 or 40 page booklet, and it lines out all the investments that, you know, your mutual fund has invested in, what it's bought, what it's sold, you know, and you look at it and you go, oh, I recognize a couple of those names. And you look at other companies and you go, I have no idea who those companies are. Yet you're invested in those companies. So think about it. What if there was a way that you could satisfy all three of those rules? Don't lose money, must cash flow, and you can't get rich slow. And there is such a real estate investment out there with your name on it that does all of those things. But before you can invest in real estate, what we've got to do is we've got to educate you on the importance of how to invest and, more importantly, how to invest properly in real estate so that you can obtain those benefits. We'll come back from the break and I'll get more into that.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
So we have some fundamental rules that we follow at Lifestyles Unlimited, and it keeps us on track. It keeps us on course with our investments. See, at one point in my life, I didn't have any rules for investing. I didn't. I was out there doing my own thing. I was maybe reading a magazine article, or I saw something in the newspaper that I read, or, you know, I was chatting it up with my coworkers and we were discussing, you know, the way ahead for the future and how that works. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, are you investing in mutual funds? Are you investing in stocks? Because that's the conventional wisdom that's out there. The conventional wisdom is this: that you go to school. I know, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Go to school to get good grades, to get into a good job that ultimately pays you income and hopefully puts you on a path for some type of retirement. And I'll tell you what, we spend 30, 40, 50 years of our lives following that plan. Many of us, we go to school, get the grades and get the job, only to find out that we have to go back to school to get the grades so that we can get a better job within our own organization or within an organization outside of where we're currently working. In the meantime, we're told, put money into your 401k if you've got one. If you don't got one, go get an IRA. Put money into that. If you don't have some of those, maybe you've got some other defined contribution plan out there where you contribute your money into some form of investment, which usually turns out to be a mutual fund or more, and you continue to ride the stock market all the way to the point where it's time for you to quote-unquote retire, and you start taking that money out. And you start living off of that money. It's a giant savings plan with, you know, some speculation in stocks or mutual funds that hopefully track what the S&P 500 is doing or the NASDAQ or the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And I'll tell you what, it has failed a lot of people. You know, along the way, I was taught, because I was living in California, that you bought your real estate, your principal residence, and it's just going to go up in value because that, you know, real estate just continues to go up in California. We were always banking on appreciation. We didn't have cash flow. We didn't have the necessary components that make a good real estate investment possible. First of all, if you're going to invest in real estate, you need to get into Lifestyles Unlimited so that we can educate you on the correct way to do it. Because there are plenty of wrong ways out there to do it. And there really only is one right way, and that's the way that we promote. That's the way we teach. And when you invest correctly in residential income producing real estate, whether it's single family homes or it's multifamily apartment communities, you're making money five, potentially six different ways. You're getting the cash flow. If the asset does not produce cash flow, walk away. Just walk away. It's not doing for you what it needs to do, because it's that cash flow, again, that is so necessary to help start paying your expenses of living. And as you continue to increase your assets, and you get maybe a second house or a third house, or you get into a second or a third multifamily community deal, the passive income that comes in is eliminating those expenses that you incur just by living. And when you get to that magic point where you have enough passive income coming in that it offsets all of your bills and expenses, you've achieved retirement. It's a cool thing. And I'll tell you what, I spent many years following flawed philosophies. I was always looking for the next best opportunity, and only to find that the process I was following had failed me. And then I found Lifestyles Unlimited. And I'll tell you what, my real estate investments now are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Those duplexes that I mentioned earlier in the show, where I was losing money every month, I restructured the debt on those properties. I got the interest rate down to about half of what I was paying. I was able to modify the rents on those properties because I wasn't charging market rate rents. I was too far below what the market would bear because I didn't know what I was doing. And now those properties, instead of costing me money every month, they provide income for me every month. It's day and night. So the cash flow is absolutely important. You've got to have cash flow. With whatever you're investing in, it needs to produce cash flow for you. Or in my opinion, and the opinion of 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited, it's a bad investment. Appreciation is a nice thing, but you can't bank on it. See, when I was investing in my principal residence, I was banking on appreciation because that's just the way things seem to have been going. And to be honest with you, I didn't know all of the fundamental ways you can make money in real estate. Equity capture is wealth that you obtain by purchasing a property correctly at the proper price point and then doing whatever remediation you need to do on that property to get it up to the valuation commanded by that neighborhood. And the difference between what you're all in at and what that ultimate price is, what that ultimate value is the equity that you capture. See, when I was investing in my principal residence, I was always paying full price because prices keep going up. Why would you offer less? If you offered less, somebody else would get the deal. Well, we don't think that way anymore. We don't think that way at all. We analyze real estate deals based on their potential. And if they don't provide these fundamental things, we walk away. We don't do the deal. I think about the only thing we were getting was principal reduction because we were making our house payment every month. Every month you make a mortgage payment. A portion of that goes to reduce the principal that you owe. So we were getting at least principal pay down. But when you compare principal pay down to the other ways we make money in real estate, it is infinitesimal in comparison. It's just kind of gravy. It really is. It's kind of gravy. And it's the kind of gravy, if you're investing correctly, that is going to give you the same kind of returns that you're expecting to get in the stock market. And then there's the tax advantages. When you invest in real estate correctly, you're going to be able to depreciate the property. And you use that depreciation to offset your gains that you make in the form of cash flows. Can't do that with your principal residence. Yeah, some of you will say, well, you know, if you live in your house for at least 2 years and you sell it, you don't have to pay any capital gains. Okay, fine. But it limits you to one asset. One asset. I'm not limited to one asset. I'm invested in many assets that are doing these things for me. They're paying me the cash flow. they're appreciating as the market appreciates. I don't bank on it. I'm getting equity capture when we acquire the properties correctly. I'm still getting principal pay down. And I'm getting the tax advantages. It is a fundamentally different way to invest than what I had been doing for a long portion of my life. You know, it is hard for me to come on the radio and tell you that I was wrong. But I do it because I think you need to understand that there's a better way, that the road that you're on right now is not going to get you to where you're trying to get to. I've been there. I've done that. I'm 56 years old. I have screwed things up in my life financially because I was doing things wrong. I will tell you, in 2008, 2009, when I was trying to short sell my property and I was going through a financial meltdown because of it, Lifestyles Unlimited members were positioned correctly to take advantage of the marketplace. And they did so. And they achieved great results. So why don't you figure out how to achieve great results? What I'm going to recommend you do is you attend one of our free workshops. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. Get yourself connected. Get yourself on the roadmap to success. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.